I don't know if your week has been like my week, but it seems like each week just gets harder and harder. And you see things that just go south. You see terrible news all over the place. And the only constant is that I can hold on to is knowing that my Savior is coming back. You know, that is things that's, this whole world is just in a bad place. But there's an important thing to remember, that we have strength and we have a hope. And we have a place to confide in, and His name is Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'm going to be brief as I can. And I want to talk on a little subject that God has showed me throughout my studying here recently in the last couple of weeks. I want to look at how we are chosen through Him, and we are chosen by Him. So tonight, my title is going to be Chosen. And if you will, I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter number 15 and verse number 16. And if you can remember, I've read this verse on Sunday morning before the call to worship, before we go to Sunday school. And this verse really sticks out to me. And I'm not going to read the whole verse, and we are going to flip a little bit. I just want to key on the first half of the verse, and then I'm going to key on the first half of another verse. Tonight, I just want you to know that Christ chose you, and He chose me way before we ever would consider Him. He chose us, and He set on a path to make sure that we knew that He chose us. And I would never be able to repay Him for it, and I'll never be able to thank Him for it until I get to see Him in heaven one day. But if you found your place in John chapter number 15 and verse number 16, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. In John chapter number 15, verse number 16, the Bible says, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. And if you will, I ask you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And then when you find your place there in 1 Peter 2, 9, the Bible reminds me that He chose us. And because He chose us, we are a chosen generation. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let us pray. Lord God, I come to you now just to talk to you one more time. Lord God, I thank you for the blessings that you've put in my life. Lord God, I thank you for reminding me just exactly what you have done for me. Lord God, I thank you for choosing me. Even an old, unwilling, and unfit vessel, Lord God, you still seen it fit to save an old sinner like myself. Lord God, and I pray tonight that if somebody's coming to this place that don't know you, I pray that you show them tonight that you chose them just as well as you chose me. Lord God, that when we come to the foot of the cross, all ground is level, Lord God, and that you see everybody the same. Lord God, you love everybody the same. And Lord God, you paid the same price for them as you paid for me. Lord God, I pray right now that you just speak through the Word of God tonight so that we can hear what you want us to hear. Lord God, I pray if I speak something tonight that won't be of you, Lord God, I pray that you hold my tongue. Lord God, not let it come out tonight, Lord God, but I pray that it be all about you. Lord God, I thank you for what your Son done on a hill called Calvary and the blood that he shed on a tree, Lord God, just so that I could have an eternal hope with him in heaven. Lord God, I pray that you just sit down with us, send the Holy Ghost down with us, and let him search through the pews tonight. Lord God, search my heart as well. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to try to get through it as well as I can. All day today, I've struggled with my speech, and I do that all the time. I've always struggled with talking, and it's always hurt me to get up in front of people, but here with my new job, it's like today. I got done at 3 o'clock, and we decided that we was going to call it a quitting point because it was going to be an hour drive from Mount Hope back to Hamilton. That'd give us a 30-minute rest period and restock the truck when we got back. And me and Craig Easter, you all probably know Craig. I rode home with Craig in a pickup truck today. And I told Craig, oh, we got off at 3 o'clock. We're calling it quits at 3 o'clock. Let's stop in here and get us an ice cream cone. I said, Russellville is known. I said, my daddy and them, when we used to haul cows, we'd stop at the Frosty Front up here. And let me tell you, that's the finest ice cream cone known to man. I said, let's stop in here and let's get us one of these jumbo ice cream cones for $3. I said, I'll buy yours if you'll just stop. And he said, okay, we're going to stop in there and get us an ice cream cone. Well, I got up there, and the woman asked me what kind of ice cream cone I wanted, and I mumbled something off. And I was trying to say I wanted a peanut butter ice cream cone. And I can't tell you exactly what I said, but it wasn't peanut butter ice cream cone. And she started laughing, and she said, "What'd you say?" I said, "Hold on, let me think for a second." I said, "Let me have a peanut butter ice cream cone." I got it out, and she made it. And so she stacked one up, and I'm telling you, it was on that cone like that right there. It's 109 degrees, and I'm a little overweight, and when I seen that ice cream, I was happy. I knew that I was about to get cooled off after running that shovel all day, and it was going to be good. She handed me that ice cream cone. I took a step, and I looked in a car, and the two people in there was pointing at a cup, and they had their ice cream in a cup, and I said, "What are they talking about?" I took another step, my ice cream cone fell. Every bit of it, that whole big old glob of peanut butter ice cream cone, and I was so disheartened. I said, "Oh my goodness, I've just dropped my ice cream cone." So, and long story short, I had to go back up, and God's people are everywhere. And she said, "You know, we all make mistakes." And she said, "I know that you didn't mean to drop it." She said, "Let me make you another one." So she made me another ice cream cone, and let me tell you, I ate that thing down quicker. I didn't give it a chance to fall off the cone. I said, "I'm going to swallow you whole." And I said, "If it freezes me from the inside," I said, "that's okay." You know, we all choose things that we want. And Christ chose us the same way as I chose that peanut butter ice cream cone. Even though I didn't seem like I could get the words right, and I couldn't exactly pronounce what I wanted to pronounce, I knew that that's what I wanted. And that's the same way Christ viewed us. He viewed us that even though he may not say our names right, for an example, or he may not see our hearts. He sees our hearts, but he may not know everything that's going on, which he does. I'm trying to give you examples, and they just ain't making sense. Here we go with the mumbling again, but God knows everything. And he chose us just like I chose that ice cream cone. And the thing I want to remind you is that he still chooses us today. Just like I chose that ice cream cone today, he still chooses me and you. And he walks with us and talks with us and guides us along life's narrow way. And I'm thankful that Jesus goes before me, because if he didn't go before me, I would fail all the time. I'd stumble and fall. So tonight I want to look at four things, four different scriptures, to know why should we choose him. If he chose us before we could even have a chance to choose him, why should we choose him? Why do we need to choose the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And tonight my first point I want to look at is the reason why we should choose him is because he cleans our heart, or he cleans our past. The text I want to look at tonight is in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9. And the text says, as you turn there, I want you to be reminded that he cleans that past. He'll take it and he'll wipe it away. You have to call it out to him and let him know about it, but he'll give you a clean slate. In elementary school, I was not the best kid. I got in trouble a lot of times, and I took a pocket knife to school and got nearly expelled. And I drove Riley Cagle down the road, but that's another story for another time. And I'm thankful for Riley and putting up with me, but he's my brother, and more importantly, he's my brother in Christ. But, you know, he cleans our past, and they told me in elementary school after I'd done that ridiculous thing that they're going to clean your past when you go to middle school, you have a clean slate. Christ cleans our slate and gives us a new walk and a new path to walk with him. And he'll clean you up better than Dawn dish detergent. I'm talking about he'll clean you up where you are stain free and you have nothing to worry about. And I'm thankful for that. And 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 9, the Bible tells me, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's so true, because when he found me and he chose me, he knew what kind of luggage I was carrying. He knew what kind of baggage I had. But even though I had that baggage, he still seen it fit to go ahead and choose me. He still sees it fit to save the uttermost. There's a documentary that Lee likes to watch on Netflix. I watched it with him one time. It was about murderers on death row. And I got to watch him one episode with him. And the guy had killed a man. But instead of killing the man and just being doom and gloom about everything, God spoke to him and saved him. And I'm reminded in the Bible of Moses. Moses was in the desert, and he took a man and hid him in the desert. He killed a man, murdered him in cold blood, and put him in the ground. And look what God done with Moses. He let Moses lead his people to the promised land. He didn't get to go in, but he let him lead him. He took them through the wilderness. You see, Jesus, he don't care about the baggage that you carry. He does not care about everything that comes with you. He chose you. He bought you at a price that we couldn't pay for. He bought you at a price with his son's blood, or with his blood, and that we'll never be able to repay. And we're all in debt to him. But not only does he cleanse our past, but he changes our hearts. And the next verse I want to look at tonight is going to be found in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 36. Ezekiel 36 verse 26. And this is something that I'm also thankful for in my life. And he reminded me that my heart used to be hardened. I used to live a life that was not pleasing unto him. And he reminded me of that. He reminded me of where he's brought me from. And we all have past that we carry. We've seen that he cleans that past, but we still are reminded of our past most time. I love to tell stories of the past time. I love, and you've seen that. I've already given you an example with the elementary school. I love to hang on to my past and tell the stories of it. But as a Christian, that's not something we need to do. Once we come to know him, we need to quit dwelling in the past and move on. Because what matters is our future with Jesus Christ. And once he cleanses our past, he changes our hearts. And in Ezekiel chapter number 36, verse 26, the Bible tells me that a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. When I read that verse, and God showed me that verse earlier this week, I got to thinking about Pharaoh. I got to thinking about Pharaoh and how he wanted to kill the Egyptians, how he was chasing them, and he wanted to constrain them, and he wanted to do away with them just because they believed things that he did not believe. They wouldn't bow and worship him as king, but instead they worshiped Jesus Christ, and they stayed in Jesus' hip pocket. And I got to thinking about how Pharaoh, the Bible says he had a heart of stone, and he had a stony heart and a hardened heart, and God couldn't exactly get through to him. And he kept trying and kept trying and kept trying. And he kept using himself as a safe place for the Egyptians. And I got to thinking about my heart when he first found me, and how hardened my heart was, and how horrible of a life I lived and not living for Jesus. And let me tell you, if he could save me, he can save you. His power is the same. He reaches the uttermost. The Bible says that he goes from the highways to the hedges. He finds everybody. There's not one. When he's got 99 sheep, he'll leave out 99 to go find the one. He reaches everybody. There's nothing that he can't do. One of my favorite verses of scripture is where he reminds us that we are the clay and he's the potter. He'll mold us and make us into exactly what he needs us to be. And that's another thing I want to look at. When he changes our hearts, he'll take you and move you and mold you and make you into exactly what he wants you to be. I never envisioned myself as a preacher. I never envisioned God would call me to preach because of my speech impediment that I've dealt with as a kid. Most of the time, if it comes to food, you can't tell I'm got a speech impediment because I get too excited. Whenever it comes to the Word of God, sometimes you can't tell that I have a speech impediment because I get excited. And then I get to thinking about all the people that's looking at me, and my speech impediment pops back up. You see, he takes that, and he took that speech impediment in me and all, and he still seen it fit to call me to preach. And he can do the same thing to you. He can see you as dirty and unfit for the kingdom as you think you are, and he can mold you and make you into exactly what he wants you to be, and he'll use you. That's one thing about Jesus Christ is, like I said, he cleans our past and he changes our hearts. But not only does he clean our past and change our hearts, but he carries our burdens. And here lately, he's been having to tote a lot of mine. He's been having to tote a lot of my burdens, and he's having to tote a lot of my feelings and all of this stuff whenever I feel like, thank you, brother. And whenever I feel like the world's against me, I'm reminded that he's there for me. Whenever I can't find a shoulder to lean on in my physical walk, I'm reminded that God is there for me, and all I have to do is talk to him. There's a direct line that each and every one of us have that goes straight to him, and it's called prayer. And I'm thankful that he allowed me to have that direct line with him, because on most days when it's doom and gloom and there ain't no sunshine because it's all rain, I can remind myself that I can still talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he chose me, just like he chooses you. But he's been having to carry a lot of my burdens, and The verse I want to look at for how he carries our burdens, I'm reminded of Matthew chapter number 11. In Matthew chapter number 11, he tells us that he'll carry them. He reminds us that whenever you are weak and you are weary and you don't feel like you can go no more and your knees get to shaking and you just can't go no more, that you can call on him and you can come unto him with all your burdens and he'll tote them. Matthew 11:28 tells me that the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm thankful that he gives me rest, because there's times where my knees shake and my arms ache and my heart hurts and I just can't go anymore. This world that we live in, you know it as well as I do, it's not all cupcakes and sunshine and rainbows. There's going to be tests that come each and every day. There's going to be things that are thrown in our face that try to give us off our walk with Jesus Christ. There's going to be things that come in front of us and try to be the driving wedge that divides us from Jesus. And it's important to know that that's all fine and dandy, because there's somebody that can tote them burdens for you. Here lately, I've been burdened a lot with my granddaddy. And my granddaddy's, he's my rock. God puts people in your lives that you can hold on to. And I can't hardly hold on to my granddaddy anymore. To try to quit crying, I'll tell you a funny story about him. The other night we was eating supper at Mama's house. And Riley didn't invite me for supper, of all people. She knows I love to eat. And she forgot to send me an invite. And she bought supper for them and was up there feeding them. And he tried to get me to go rob some lights off of a Ranger that he sold. He said, "You going to go up there and get them lights for me? This is 8:30, 9:00 at night." And he said, "You going to go up there and you're going to get them lights for me. And you're going to go get them because I told you to. You're going to go do it now." Went and grabbed his keys off the wall and said, "You ready? Let's go." I said, "Papa, I ain't touching that." I said, "That's stealing." I said, "You got rid of that." I said, that "We're not going to do that." And me and him went back and forth. And Mama said, that conversation died down, and I thought it was going to be okay, and I thought he had finally settled down, but I guess the more he sat there, he just festered up and got mad. So Mama told him, he said, "Grab that fly swatter right there and kill that fly." And he come over to me, he said, "I'm going to get him." He said, "I'm going to get him." And he tried to whoop me with a fly swatter, so I got up and left. But Christ knows my heart, and he knows how close I am to my papa. And days are going by where it just ain't seeming the same anymore. And y'all all know his story, and y'all, most of you know what's going on. I won't get too far into detail with it, but I've been burdened down with that, because that's not the man that I knew growing up. He's not the same anymore. And I got reminded that. This week I got reminded that God totes that burden for me. That he's already going to take care of my granddaddy. He's going to take care of me. And I've gotten a little better about it. I try not to cry, but it's hard not to do. But he carries that burden for you. Whether it be your granddaddy or it be something that you got in your life, a health problem, no matter what, Jesus Christ can tote it. He can take it and he can cast it as far as the east is from the west from, and you don't have to worry about it no more. And that's where I'm finding my hope and my confidence right now, is that Jesus is going to take care of that burden. And I love that verse where it says, "When you're heavy laden, I will give you rest." There's no person on this planet, and there's nobody in this room that you can go to when you feel spiritually drained, and they can lift you up. There's nobody in here that can meet every need that you've got. But there's a man in heaven that can. There's a man that sitteth on a throne in the room of glory, and he can take care of whatever you have going on. I'm thankful for my direct line to Jesus, and I'm thankful that he carries my burdens. But not only does he clean our past, and not only does he He changed our hearts and carry our burdens. But tonight I want you to know this, and this is the most important thing I can tell you, is tonight He completes our lives. I never knew what I was missing in my life when I was living for the world. I had always been told that Christianity is dull. There's no fun in it. I didn't start, and I thought I was living when I was for the world, but little did I know that I didn't start living until I come to know Jesus. I never got to experience freedom like I did when I came to know Jesus. I never had to worry about anything else in this world because I came to Jesus. He guides us, He leads us, He protects us, and He completes our lives. And the verse I want to look at for that is going to be found in Colossians. Colossians chapter number 2, verses number 10. And the Bible tells me in Colossians 2:10, He reminds me that in Him I am complete with Him. With Him I'm complete. There's nothing that I can find, there's nothing that I can do in this world that will ever matter besides coming to know Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can fill my heart and that can fill my life out besides Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me in Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 10, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." I'm thankful that He completed my life. I told you just a few minutes ago, I told you that I didn't start living until I come to know Him. There's been a lot of things that created voids in my life. There's been a lot of dark roads and dark days, and there's been times where I just didn't think I really mattered anymore. But I want you to know that if you're going through that, you matter. There was somebody that chose you. There's been somebody that chose you way before you was formed in the womb. There was somebody that it's never about you, and it's all about Him. He completes our lives. And I'm thankful that for how He completed my life. And like I told you, I thought I had everything that I needed, and I was living for the world, and I thought that I was just fine and dandy until the day that He set me down and broke me down. He repaired me, and He built me back up. He took me and set me off of a sinking sand and set me upon a rock, a strong rock, a rock foundation, and I've been walking with Him ever since. And let me tell you that if you are missing something in your life, He's the one that can complete it. But tonight, I just want you to know that if you've never chosen Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you do so. Because no matter how bad my granddaddy gets, no matter how bad this world gets, I'm still finding hope in knowing that He chose us. I still find hope in knowing that He chose me. With all the baggage that I had, I still find hope knowing that He seen it fit to save an old sinner like me. Let us pray. Lord God, I come to You now, and I just thank You, Lord God, for choosing me tonight. Lord God, I thank You for choosing each and every person in here. Lord God, You chose them tonight, no matter if they know it or not. You chose them because You brought them here. Lord God, all the other places we could be, Lord God, and You've got us here on a Wednesday night. Lord God, I thank You for choosing us. Lord God, there's no gift greater than what You've paid for us. Lord God, and I'm forever in debt for that. Lord God, and I thank You for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Lord God, I pray tonight if there's someone in here that hasn't ever experienced that blood that was shed on Calvary, I pray that You just show up and show it to them tonight. Lord God, I pray that You show them that they are a chosen person. Lord God, that You have plans for them. Your word tells me that You have plans for our future, Lord God, and that You're going to give us an expected end. Lord God, and I'd much rather have that expected end than not know what tomorrow holds. Lord God, I thank You that You've given me the ability to have such a loving church family. Lord God, I pray for each and every one of them that's in here tonight, and I pray that You just keep a hedge of protection around them. Lord God, I pray that You keep working in their lives. Lord God, and I pray that we always be found faithful in You. Lord God, I pray that You just rain double portion of blessings down on this, on the congregation here tonight and those that aren't with us. Lord God, I pray for our the rest of our church that has gone out doing Your work, Lord God. I pray that You are allowing them to be the hands and the feet that they need to be, Lord God. And Lord, I know that You are. Lord Jesus, I thank You once again that you chose me. Lord God, and I pray right now that if Satan's holding somebody back tonight, Lord God, that just like I feel like he was trying to do to me before I come up here, Lord God, I pray that you just remove him out of their way, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that you just cast him as far as the east is from the west out of their lives. Lord God, I pray that they know that he's a defeated foe in their lives. Lord God, because you've done defeated death, hell, and the grave, Lord God, and that's all that Satan's good for. Lord God, I pray that you just continue to go with us and bless us throughout each and every day that we go. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.